When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? The show starts in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Go.
In a world where Carolina Panthers fans have an insatiable thirst for Panthers news and opinions.
Panther fans, unite! My name's Tony Dunn.
Cody Lashney, how you doing? TK's in the house. How you doing, my friend? The stat daddy.
But I think Derrick Brown, hey, man, he deserves that dab on him.
Dab on him, Phil Snow. Dab on him.
All the same. Yeah, 100%. We can just
mine is going to go to the fullback. I'm going to dump on the Richie guy. Dab on him, Shaq.
I'm going to put the towel on Matt Rhule.
You know, y'all took all the good ones.
Only one postgame roars ferociously. It's the C3 Panthers postgame show.
Whoa, what's the deal, Panther fans? Football is back. Football is back, and we are back with our first postgame show of the 2022 season as the Carolina Panthers defeat the Washington Commanders 23-21, and I'm here with the crew. As usual, breaking down this game, Cody Lashney, my wheel man, how you doing?
Tony Dunn, I'm doing good, man. The Panthers got a W. We saw a lot of things to like from a lot of different players. Also, a lot of weird formations, a lot of Matt Rhule decisions. We're going to talk about, is Matt Corral already a bust? Oh, no. We're going to talk about all of that today on the first C3 Panthers postgame show of the year. How about that, boys? You know we're going to do it with some of our very best. Our man Drew, Alex Pro, Anthony Price, Bobby Pay, D'Angelo the Legend, Matt Knows Nothing, my brother Jonica Gautreau, what's up? Lance Kubiak, Paul Mancini, Roosevelt Mango, Tizzy Smith, Tony Dunn. Ain't nothing to it but to do it, brother. Let's roll.
The voice that makes him moist is here. He went to FanFest. He's watched Panthers football. He has a beautiful hat on. His voice is sultry. How do you feel after we get the WCK?
Man, it is overreaction time. It's season for overreaction. And, you know, there's a lot of things we're going to talk about. And quite honestly, I think that there's a discussion to be had about whether or not we should be blaming Matt Rhule for Matt Corral's, lack of success in this because of the holding on to the four quarterbacks throughout the preseason. Doesn't seem like a very knowledgeable one, but it's something that I'm willing to discuss. And let's just say we all expected Matt Corral to be a developmental project. We're going to talk about whether that's going to be something that is a fact or fiction at this point in time.
two quarterbacks were battling today for a starting position, Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield. But I got to say, the person who won is the Stat Daddy. He's my dab on him pick with that intro, bro. I got excited. Man, that just pumped me up for the season. Welcome back, Stat Daddy.
Thanks, man. It's funny because I've probably listened to 1,000 times in the last 10 hours. So hearing it again on the intro was pretty cool. I was like, oh, okay, there it actually is working. But hey, it's interesting you talk about that quarterback battle because I got to go to FanFest too, which was fantastic. And that's going to be an every year thing for me from now on, I promise you. There were more Baker Mayfield jerseys for sale in the team store than Sam Darnold jerseys, which to me, you don't sell more backup jersey sales or backup quarterback jerseys, you know, just in my opinion. So I think the question's answered.
All right. Well, actually, first, we'll take a few calls today if we get them in. 252-228-5098. We're going to keep this post-game show as tight as possible for the first one. People got a lot to do, families to tend to. So let's tend to our C3 family, our Carolina Panthers fan family. Subscribe, smash the thumbs up button, and let's start with number one, the topic. Baker Mayfield came out just balling, dude. Straight balling, and had one mistake, which was a botched snap.
Yeah.
Steve Smith said that it was likely because they called a shot play and he was excited to just go straight win the job. Steve Smith in the commentary said, man, if he could halfway through this drive, he said, man, if he leads him down for a touchdown, he go ahead and give him the starting job right now, dude. Made all the right throw. I mean, look, actually, I think showed off some real arm talent today. And put that ball placement on that Robbie Anderson, I don't think it could have been any better.
Nope.
It didn't come up. It didn't work out. But Baker Mayfield did not let down today. He had to have felt good as Deshaun Watson struggled mightily in his preseason debut. And he comes out there with a new team, with swagger, confidence, pushing the ball down the field. Cody, it felt like after that drive, this job is his. And then Sam Darnold goes and damn throws a wildly awesome touchdown with pressure in his face.
Yeah, into the back of the end zone, too. It was a nice time pass, had a good bit of touch. Listen, it's funny because Steve Smith is now Baker Mayfield's number one fan, it sounds like. He even said at one point, dare I say, it looks like Baker Mayfield woke up feeling dangerous. He's already bought in, man. And listen, to his credit, I think he was aggressive. I think it was important for him to come out, play in rhythm. Steve Smith made a point of saying, and it was very true, that he did a good job going through his progressions, going from one to two to three. He was able to get to the check down. He hit Shy Smith on a good underneath pass. And even the pass, the long bomb that he threw down the field it was broken up to Robbie Anderson, it was good ball placement.
Yeah.
You know, maybe if Robbie was a little bit bigger and stronger, you know, maybe he would have been able to come down with that. Yeah, and then you had some dumb luck. You had a botched snap, you know, and a lot of things that just kind of didn't go our way. And then the very last play for Baker, it was a missed you know, they were on two different pages, the receiver and Baker. So, yeah, man, I think that he looked as good as he reasonably could. And then I think that Sam Darnold came in and did just enough to, you know, maybe convince Matt Rhule that it still needs to be a competition. I hope not. I think that we're wasting time. The more that we continue to do this two quarterback, you know, splitting the first team reps thing, I think that's insane. And then the final thing I'll say before I pass the mic, the fact that Pat Elflin is the starting center of the Carolina Panthers over Bradley Bozeman, what the hell are we doing, man? Bradley Bozeman was one of our biggest free agent signings this offseason. Ravens fans were upset that they lost him, and we're not playing him with the starters. It honestly drives me insane.
In fairness, though, is that the fact that we signed him to only a one-year deal, I think implies maybe we jumped the gun on how committed they were to Bradley Bozeman just being the starter right away.
Yeah.
But, you know, you expected them to bring him in to play, and they haven't really. So he's played with the second string. CK and Greg, what you guys jump in there? Initial thoughts of this quarterback battle?
Greg, you go ahead, man.
Okay, I only got to watch the first quarter. I was fortunate enough to set up my lunch break to be right at 1 o'clock and be able to watch the first quarter of the game, and then I had to go back to work. But from what I saw, is exactly kind of what I saw at the Fan Fest. I see it looks like Baker's just a step ahead of Sam Darnold, even though Sam Darnold did have a really amazing throw. I got to give him credit on this one, like an amazing throw under pressure. But we've never argued that Sam Darnold can't do that. It's when things go bad, he's not able to continue to do that. That's his issue. Right. You know, so I have no doubts he's a decent quarterback. But here's the good thing. I need Sam Darnold to have a really good preseason because I think Baker's got this job regardless. Like I said, there's four rows of Baker jerseys and one row of Sam Darnold jerseys in the team store at the stadium. That's the sign right there. Baker's got the job. I need Sam to look really good so that way somebody will want to take him off our hands.
Yeah, because
even if for a fifth or a sixth round pick, I don't care. I need him to have some kind of value to be able to trade. I just need him off the books, you know. So I want him to look good, and I want him to be able to get traded and go to a team where he's going to do well. You know, I wish the best for him. But
there are still rumors floating around that the Panthers are still trying to shop Sam Darnold. And then, of course, there's always the news report that comes out that you know is coming from someone influenced by the Panthers. No, they are not shopping Sam Darnold. They're actually, you know, legit about this competition. It's all crazy to me, man.
Can we trade him back to the Jets?
So I found out Zach Wilson is only going to miss like 4 weeks. And he's actually going to be back. He didn't tear an ACL.
But they said they weren't going to know anything until Monday.
I don't know. That's just the one that I saw today. They said that.
You know, it's crazy. I saw NFL rumors before that game started that he tore his ACL. I think they spoke it
into existence.
Yes. Like, because I was like, man, they haven't even played yet. And then I saw it again, and it was real this time. I'm pretty sure I saw one of those rumor accounts, you know, that just says wild shit all the time that predicted that.
Is there a narrative that runs the NFL? I don't know.
CK, your thoughts on initial quarterback battles before we move on?
I think there's a couple of things. I'm not here to make excuses for Matt Corral, but I am ready, and I think we've all said it, for this. If you don't have an idea about what you're going to be doing, there's a problem in and of itself right there. And I think that's going to hinder the development of Matt Corral. And I think we see that tonight, right? They talk about confidence and everything, and I think it's a real thing when you think about from a quarterback's perspective, like having good confidence and starting them out on the right foot. Well, starting them out on the right foot isn't starting them with the force, right? And expecting him to come in here and do something well. The reality is this should have been Matt Corral should have been in the exact place that PJ Walker was in, and PJ Walker should have been taking reps with the twos, right? I think that we're doing a disservice to Matt Corral by not getting rid of Sam Darnold or PJ Walker, one of the two, if you really plan on keeping, Sam Darnold around. I personally don't believe that's the right move, but you know, it's not my choice to make, I guess. But yeah, I think that from what I've seen, even with the positives you saw from Baker Mayfield, they weren't really that positive. He went 2 for 2 on that first drive, thanks to a defensive turnover. And I'm not about to, you know, take away from the fact that he got that score, but
for Darnold,
at the same time, yeah, Darnold, my bad. But the reality of it, that throw was just kind of a heave and hoping on a prayer that it was going to work. All right, he was kind of
designed for that scenario, to be honest. You know,
good catch.
I'm not going to fault the guy for being successful in the moment.
Right.
You know, is that, and I think Greg put it a good way, is that that's the problem with Darnold. You see him do those types of things at moments, and you're like, gosh, this guy you could see some hope and semblance that it could work in some cases. And then, it just, you know, falls apart. But I think going back to the Matt Corral, the irony of this, right, is that the people who were really kind of anti-Cody on how to implement Matt Corral and like really go aggressively with him as maybe even allowing him to even compete for the starting job.
Right.
They said it was because he wasn't ready and you didn't want to break him. But when you put these guys in this late game scenario with the scrubbiest of scrubs, you're kind of doing that in the preseason. And we, you know, the same thing happened with Will Grier. And I'm not saying that Will Grier would have been better. And I'm not saying that Matt Corral shouldn't have played better today, because he didn't play well, period. Yeah. He made his own mistakes too. But, you know, it's like one of those things. Now we got to say that is like he's playing with the scrubs. I think the more the question for me, going back to this, and we'll kind of round this part of the discussion out and move on, is I've been really, this is the first preseason where we've had three, or did we have three preseason games last year?
Yeah, last year we had three.
All right, I need to go back and look at how teams implemented their starters. I feel like as I've looked around the league today, and I've only watched a few yesterday and today, that teams have played a lot of their starters more than I thought they would for longer amounts of times than I expected them to. So it really, it felt like this, is that the Panthers were probably ready to deploy these quarterbacks even longer if they had maybe run into some struggles, right? If Baker Mayfield hadn't come out there and just looked dialed in, he might have gotten another opportunity. If Sam Darnold didn't make that kind of great play and set up a touchdown in that good field position, he might have played a little longer. And then I was surprised at how long, or the kind of how long PJ Walker played.
Yeah.
I thought he would have come in earlier and left earlier. That's all I would say. You know, is I kind of expected him to be the third quarterback, but I didn't expect him to come out. I would have liked to just see him play the second quarter. And then give the second half to Matt Corral.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Matt Corral hates rookie offensive players. He feels like you're not a football player in your first year. You're just not. You're a fledgling, not worthy of playing legit football. And listen, going back to Matt Corral, I'm not saying Matt Corral was perfect, especially at the end. He was, you know, he put the ball behind his receiver a couple times. But the thing that I want to stress is that Matt Corral has barely been getting any reps. By the time they're done with Baker, Sam, and PJ, he might get three opportunities to do something. And then we expect him to look good when he's going in there with the fours. I think a lot of people are comparing him to Sam Howell, because Sam Howell for the Washington Commanders, he looked kind of good today. He had two rushing touchdowns. He was putting the ball at the right place. But at the end
you
of the
guys
day,
liked him too, coming out of college. You know what I mean? It's not.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people thought that the Panthers should have drafted him because of his North Carolina ties. But it's really unfair to compare those two in those scenarios. Like, Howell has had much more time with the threes than Corral has even had with the fours. And see, the sad thing about it is I don't think that's going to change at all. I think you might see a copy paste of this the next 2 weeks in a row, unless Matt Corral and that fourth team can get on the same page and do a little bit better. And CK, you mentioned this before the show, and I'll pass it to you on this. That depth at the offensive line, man, I mean, especially when they started blitzing, it was like a sieve there at the end.
It's always like that. It's always like that in the fourth quarter in these preseason games. That's why we turn them off then. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I want to go back and just do this as highlight Willie.
Yes.
Thanks, Willie, for your donation of $1.99 Super Chat. Baker's going to rock out this year. You can support the podcast by donating monetarily. Appreciate that. We don't ask for it, but we do appreciate it. And you can always smash the thumbs up button. In fact, it's time to get freaky deaky with them. Freaky deaky. Ooh. There's 221 people watching this show right now, and we need your help. And if you don't help us, shame on you. Get him, CK.
Yeah.
Talk to him, Big Papa.
In a world where one squad must find a way to come in here and talk about a preseason game that ultimately means nothing, we come in here, we have conversations about quarterbacks. We have conversations about Matt Corral being a bust. and you guys have come in here. We have, what, 231 of you legends in here watching us right now, and you haven't hit that flipping like button yet? You haven't subscribed to the channel to help us get to 4,000 subscribers before the season starts? I have one thing to say to all you absolute legends. Subscriber shame.
Oh, 227 people watching. Let's get that. Let's wipe your feet on that thumbs up button.
Yeah, all right. That's it.
All right, let's keep going through the talk. Like, all right, so, you know, the quarterback conversation has dominated the talk. We said this. In fact, before the preseason started and in going into camp, we asked basically five questions. We have, remember that we did a video, five questions. Or show five questions facing the Carolina Panthers. One was quarterbacks. We've handled that one. The next one, it was this offensive line formation. We dabbled in it by talking about Bozeman and Eflin. Michael Jordan was walked out there as the starting left guard. Your thoughts on what you saw? I thought the line from what, and I'm going to have to go back and kind of watch this and slow it down and really focus on looking at the line. I'm almost trying to get back in my rhythm of watching football, you know, is like what to take in, what to look at, what I want to focus on. And I probably need to make a list of things before I go into these games that I need to try to watch out for.
Yeah.
Your thought, I thought, you know what, is for the first quarter, I thought the Panthers offensive line looked formidable.
Yeah. I think so, they looked good.
Like, I mean, tell us what you thought about the – we saw Cam Irvin get just smoked on the right side when Icky was playing. When people are saying there's mixed reviews on Bozeman's performance today in the chat. What are your thoughts on, I mean, did you get a chance? I didn't really even get to feel like I looked at Brady Christensen specifically enough. Your thoughts on just what you gathered or got, you know, did we get any insight into this offensive line and out of this first game?
Yeah, and real quick, shout out to Padawan Panther for the $1.99. Says, just glad football is here. Keep pounding, y'all. Appreciate you, Panther Padawan. Yeah, this offensive line, it's a work in progress, and we know that. We've upgraded. You all know that I have real problems with the offensive line formation. I feel like things could be better. But you're right, for the most part, other than a botch snap here and there, early on, but that Baker Mayfield drive and that Sam Darnold drive, I really do feel like our offensive line is in the process of taking that step forward. I can't say that they've done it yet because we haven't seen a legit, you know, NFL football game yet. But I do think, and I said this after going to FanFest and seeing Brady Christensen in person, I'll be damned if he doesn't look the part, man. Mm-hmm. He is a big, fast, physical, nimble big man. And I really do think that no matter where they decide to put him, even though I would prefer him at tackle for a season, I really think Brady Christensen is going to be dynamite no matter where they decide to play him. And again, you know, maybe my eyes go toward my favorites. Hey, I'm willing to admit I have some bias. But let me tell you, man, every single time I saw number 77, Big Deontay Brown, my man was never giving up pressure. Not one time. You can say that this man's big and out of shape or whatever you want, but when this
look
man,
remarkably like big, you know what I mean? Dude, like, I look at him and go, ugh.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So much has been overblown about it. Yeah. I really think that Deontay Brown just isn't being given a chance to shine and show what he's capable of. I hope that he's able to make the team and we might be able to fit him in somehow, some way, maybe even at center a year down the line. I don't know. I just think that man is far too strong and talented for us to just move on from him and have him become another Harrison Butker-like player for someone else.
Yeah, that would suck. Go ahead, Greg.
I was going to say, like I said, I only saw the first quarter, and for the offensive line for me, I wasn't as impressed as I thought I was going to be, and I had to keep reminding myself that it takes time to gel. This is like the unit that takes the most time to gel. A lot, they're all brand new together. And I guess it's more in my mind, I wanted every play, the quarterbacks to be totally protected. Because when I look at like Tom Brady or you know, Aaron Rodgers play, and I watch the pocket just looks different for quarterbacks like that. And I don't know if it's the quarterback or the offensive line, but it looks like they just have this beautiful little cup around them. And that's just what I want to see with Carolina. And there were a few times, especially that first scramble with Baker, which Baker got out of and he did well. It just looked kind of off to me. But I also had to think about it. Washington has a great defensive line. This is a young, energetic defensive line. First preseason game of the year against their coach's previous team. I imagine they had some fire in them today. So, I mean, I had to take all that in consideration. I wasn't insanely impressed, but they didn't do bad. You know, I mean, it looked better than last year.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard to tell, isn't it? It's like as you're moving things around and you got some good – we didn't really see them have – well, we kind of staked some long drives in there throughout this. You know, is there were some, you know, like running the clock down, doing some different things. All right, so let's kind of maybe finish up with the offense. I have two things here. My last two observations with the offense is number one is Matt Rhule's got his guys.
Right.
He's got his guys that he likes. Is they came out right away and made Chuba Hubbard the starting quarterback. A lot of people thought Dante Foreman, starting running back for this game. Yeah, it just seems like this is they like Chuba Hubbard a lot, and I feel like that's a Matt Rhule guy. If you think about Keith Kirkwood out there a lot, Matt Rhule guy, former Temple player. So he just has these guys that he kind of latches onto, or at least it seems that way. And I was just surprised. And did Terrace Marshall Jr. even play today? I didn't see him out there. He didn't make the stat sheet. I wonder if he's listed as an inactive, dude.
I'm not sure. If he did, he was very quiet. I kind of don't think he played. I know Christian McCaffrey didn't play. One player I wanted to highlight, and I've been very excited for this man as well, is Shai Smith.
Yep.
I think Shai Smith continues to impress. And by the way, his performance today was an extension of what he already started to do in training camp. This past couple of days, Shai Smith has really started to look like a really good receiver. I think they're going to like him in the slot, using him on some of that underneath stuff to kind of get open a lot of those mesh concepts. I think he's built for stuff like that. And he's strong. He's a physical young man. I think he's capable of some yards after contact, too. I really was excited about Shai Smith and what he's been doing. And I think I'd probably say that he was my biggest true standout on offense today.
100%. I would agree with that. I think Shai Smith, he gives me very much the Curtis Samuel experience. You know, that's what I get a feeling when I watch him play that position. I wanted to touch base on something real quick before we move on. And it's just a quick statement. Somehow Cam Irving, even going up against second and third stringers, looked even worse than he did last year.
I know. On the right side,
by the way.
On the right side.
Yeah. It's so bad. I don't even understand it at this point in time. But nonetheless, so the offense, listen,
I mean, Higgins looked good too.
Higgins looked good. I mean, it's really hard to determine what's good and what's not, because we didn't have barely any of our starters out there, right? You don't have DJ Moore. You didn't have Christian McCaffrey. You didn't have Terrace Marshall Jr.
Robbie's out there with one.
I did find it odd. You guys tell me what your thoughts are on this. That Chuba Hubbard was taking reps ahead of Deontay Foreman.
Yeah, I mean, I think that – I don't know if it's odd. It's just kind of an observation of – and I think that someone in the chat brought this up, is that he is a more comparable back to CMC, which I don't – you know, I mean, or maybe like a little bit more dynamic than Foreman in some ways, more Foreman being, I guess, kind of a more thought of as a power back. You know, I don't really do – I just – I think they've got that quarter – I think they got that running back room figured out.
Yeah, and I don't think they need to do
Christian McCaffrey, Foreman, and short yardage scenarios, and let's keep developing Chuba Hubbard. And really, Hubbard is going to be there, just kind of continue to practice catching the ball. That's what he had last year. As long as he's not fumbling, he looked okay. He looks at me and just looked like he did last year.
How many plays did Robbie play? Did he play just the one series, or
I think so?
I think he
played that one with Baker, and then that was it.
Yeah.
So I have a question. Do you think, like how we were talking about Bozeman and Pat Elflin, how it's like, what are we doing? Why would you even sign Bozeman? if you're going to play this bum that was trash for us last year. You know, I was one of Chuba Hubbard's defenders. I thought that Chuba, you know, he had some stone hands, like someone said in the chat.
Yeah.
I think it was JD. It's true. But I think as a runner, he has a lot of untapped potential. Mm. And I do think he's a really powerful young guy. I wonder if maybe we might see something similar where it's just like, should we just be playing Deontay Foreman, but Matt Rhule is going to continue to go with Chuba Hubbard because – I don't know. His wife liked him coming out of college. I don't know.
There's an opposite we'll argument to that right there, Cody. I see what you're saying, but what about if we didn't play DJ Moore, Christian McCaffrey, a lot of our guys that we know, bam, they're the solid starters. There's no question. Maybe we just didn't, Bozeman just didn't start because we know he's the guy. We're trying to get reps.
We put him with the second string there. So, I mean, he played.
That's true. Yeah, I guess he played. Guys, the other guys,
you know, these guys played. So it will be interesting. You know, look, it's the first game. And to me, the first preseason game, to be honest, I saw a lot of players on this team that I expect to be a real part of this team play a lot more than I expected. Right. So let's flip the script real quick. We'll start with one. Actually, you know what? Let's jump in. We got two cat calls right now. Let's go ahead and bring those in.
All right.
Cody, set it up, bro.
You already know what time it is.
So what are your thoughts on catcalling?
Yeah, it's pretty you shouldn't do that to somebody.
And how did that make you feel?
Very uncomfortable.
So how do you think catcalling makes the person feel?
It feels good, like a 3 and a 4 and a... Who's that cat sitting in the back corner with his face buried in his nose? Who's that kid that can use one?
What's up, dude? This is Bobby Key. The thing that I don't like is everybody getting really hyped about this season when it's clear that there are still flaws.
Oh, for sure.
Within our actual coaching staff. We hire new people, but it's still Ben McAdoo. As far as offense goes, it's still Ben McAdoo. We still have.
I think
you feel me? And it's crazy. It's really crazy.
All right, man. We appreciate the call. We're going to go. You know, we've talked a lot about this coaching staff, and I would say over the last couple of weeks. And to be honest, I thought we looked pretty well prepared today. In a way, there's some questions. Every super fan is always going to talk about the clock management thing and some different stuff like that. Maybe towards the end of the first quarter, I mean, at the end of the first half. But I think Ben McAdoo is probably the best you can hope for if you're a Carolina Panthers fan, bringing in, kind of coming into an untenable situation, you know, is a very difficult one. You know, of like, hey, man, Matt Rhule, this is like, who really wants to go there and try this out? And then you went and got some coaches that have some pedigree to them. And McAdoo, you know he wasn't maybe the most, he wasn't successful as a head coach, but he had some success as a coordinator. And today, I mean, maybe it was easy, but I thought it was a balance of what Rhule wants is a nice run mix with, you know, some aggressive passing mixed in there. So interesting. Appreciate the call. One more call, and then we'll talk about this defense.
Hello, long time listener, first time caller. Just watching the preseason game today. I'm super excited about the direction of this team. Cody, your boy Corral, he needs some more practice. He needs some more time. He's not going to be anywhere near ready to lead this team this year. I sure hope we can get something for Sam Darnold because PJ needs to stay on this team. He looked really sharp out there today. Y'all keep up the great work. And everybody subscribe and like and follow our boys at C3. We appreciate y'all. Keep pounding.
Oh, yeah. Man, thank you so much for the call, the support. We appreciate it. Matt Corral, difficult, you know, first showing. So let's go. But let's switch to talk to this defense a bit, you know. Yeah. Is a little bit of question marks. I told you in the past, guys, is that I thought our defense last year was overrated. That they clung on to this second best defensive stat for too long, and it just I didn't even know how we were a second best defense. And then they put up this weird stat at the beginning of the game that the Panthers were 31st in red zone defense last year.
Right.
And I was like, what? Like, how can you be a good defense and be that bad in the red zone? Now, there's a lot of reasons why, and we could dissect that. But that was a bizarre stat. And we lost some key parts. There's been some questions about this defense. Is losing Hassan Reddick, how would we, you know, a lot of people wanted to add a veteran defensive pass rusher. How are they going to be able to work with Brian Burns and YGM? How would that look? What would the pressure look like up the middle? Maybe the defense had it easy today. But I thought that secondary was flying around. Justin Burris making plays. Xavier Woods. Like our safeties look great.
Yeah.
We didn't even play, I think, our starting corners at all. I don't know if I saw CJ Henderson or JC Horn out there. I thought this is that the defense looked good.
Hey, I was impressed by Barno.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, let's see that. No kidding.
We were talking about we need to help on the defensive end and see where we're going to have that and pressure. And, I mean, you know, three tackles, two assists. I mean, that's not bad for a first game.
Brandon Smith was another one that I felt like that stood out too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Luvu! Dude, I'm loving me some Frankie Luvu. And by the way, shame on us. I don't know why we haven't, like, mentioned it earlier. Frankie Luvu, I love the haka dance. Like, whenever you see the, like, the traditional Maori warriors or, like, New Zealand, Australia and stuff, they do the haka. Well, right. Frankie Luvu does that. I might try and find the clip of it and pull it up. Frankie Luvu has turned into one of the very definitions of leadership on our defense, man. Like, this dude does everything. He flies around the football field. He's fast and aggressive. Man, this guy has been an absolute blessing in disguise, man. If he can turn out to be another great, dependable Panthers linebacker, man, how awesome would that be, dude? And his name is kind of chantable. It might not quite be Luke, but Luvu is pretty easy rolling off your tongue. So I'm really happy about Frankie Luvu on this defense, man.
Yeah. You know, and look, it really seems like he's going to be a step in there. And kind of alleviate that some of those concerns about that maybe people had with Hassan Reddick leaving. Greg, you had some thoughts?
No, I'm just thinking about Barno was my only thing. The defense did look pretty decent for him. I was really impressed with Xavier Woods too. There were a couple plays I saw him on. He got lucky, I think, a couple times. There was a couple plays, ball placement, I think, helped him. It wasn't his defense, but I mean, he at least was there. I was listening to the Washington broadcast for the rest of the game. And it's so funny to listen to the opposing team's broadcast. I might have a good ice up pick for this Tuesday. But
Wow. Yeah. So you got to listen to the opposing team.
And they were talking trash. Whoever this broadcaster was talking all kinds of trash. And I was like, okay, I want to find these clips.
Yeah. So, bro, how did we not find this haka dance thing earlier? Like you said, I'm watching what a haka, I never even heard of it, but.
What oh, let cool me find. Let me find Frankie Luvu's haka.
Wow.
Yeah, cool. You never seen the haka dance? Yeah. So I'm probably getting this wrong. If I am, forgive me. But the Maori warriors, before they would go to war, they would line up in front of their opponents, and they would do the muba shaka da da da, and they just like it's intimidation, and they would kill your ass real quick. But I'll try and find the clip of Frankie doing the haka.
Oh, that's awesome, man. And now I'm just going to watch haka dances for the rest of the day. There's someone doing it at their wedding with their groomsmen.
I guess awesome. That is a battle.
Yeah, no kidding. So look, the defense, I felt like really, you know, I think it continued to show that that's like going to be a big part. Or we're hoping to get reinforcement of ideas that we thought were going to be true, you know? So I think we have just continued to assume that the defense was going to be a strength of this team, or at least that's what we learned last year it was. And that more of the questions were on the other side, and we've tried to figure it out. And that secondary, Well, it looked like it played pretty well. So people are talking about Westry didn't look good. But I thought this is like if I felt like if our team could play this kind of complete, if you just looked at that first quarter, defense created turnover, offense put points up on the board, score a touchdown when you get a turnover rather than a field goal, extend some drives, keep them off the field, give them some problems, that's how you can win games.
Yeah.
You know, that's how you win games. And I think that's kind of the message that Matt Rhule's been preaching is like, this is how you win. It's not fancy. It doesn't have to be fancy. We just got to be sound all over the ball. And I know a lot of people were also mentioned the special teams, which was, you know, I mean, there's a lot of different things we can talk on that. One is Joey Sly is still Joey Sly. But one more shout out, Muscles Marinara. My Italian Paisan Richie looked really good at tight end. I'm Italian Paisan. I love you. Muscles Marinara. That's a fantastic name. Thank you for the $2 super chat.
Oh, you don't know. You don't know Muscles. Oh, Muscles is a guy. He owns a sub shop down in Spartanburg.
Yeah, really? Yeah. So yeah, he has a sub shop in Spartanburg.
Monster Subs.
Yeah, Monster Subs. We were talking about maybe if we ever do a C3 meetup at training camp down in Spartanburg, everybody meet up at the sub shop and.
Man, fantastic! Yeah, we got to do that. That's on my calendar. That is already. I'm putting that all on my calendar. Fantastic stuff there. Thanks for the support. You know, I don't know. We didn't get to see any of the team in its completeness, but we did see, I think, enough to make us feel better today.
Yes.
Joey Sly just left, right? Man, he missed the extra point. Did he miss a field goal, too?
No, he just missed. He only kicked once.
Okay.
Or wait, he had to kick a couple times because he did another touchdown. So.
Yeah. But one other thing is, I know that we make fun of Matt Rhule having kind of that nepotism of Temple and Baylor. It turns out, and we've made this comment before, every coach in every team has.
Oh, man. How many former Panthers?
They bring in familiarity, right? Yeah. They bring in, you know, you look at the Buffalo and Carolina, the connections there from Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean. So you see a lot of Carolina Panthers there.
The Commanders.
But boy, the Commanders.
Yeah, I was listening to the audio, and I was like, am I listening to a Panthers versus Panthers game? So I'm hearing about Heinicke and Curtis Samuel and Joey Sly missing field goals. I was like, wait,
Bonifon, David Mayo is on that team. Mecca Okafor. Who was the Obada? F.A. Obada's on that team.
Yeah.
Joey Sly.
The Bonifon one is interesting because I was surprised that he was actually on that team. For whatever reason, I almost thought he was still on the Panthers, to be honest with you.
Corn Elder.
Corn's Elder? Oh, snap.
Yeah. The one guy, this one, the funniest one to me was they brought it up at one point. The R commentator goes, oh, that's a former Carolina Panther. And I had never, ever heard of this dude. And I was like, what? Hold on. Mark and Michael.
Yeah.
Never even heard of Mark and Michael. Had no idea he was a Carolina Panther at the pass. So the Commanders, I thought their end zone looked pretty good with the Commanders taking up the full end zone. I did like that.
Yeah.
So I did not see Ron Rivera on the telethon or on the telly at all. Not one time.
Until the end. I saw him towards the end, but. Yeah, other than that, yeah, you're right.
Is this the haka dance?
Yeah, this is the haka dance that Frankie Louvre does. Let's go
right here.
Hey, Frankie Louvre is the man, dude.
I wonder if he has any ties, like...
Yeah, he does. Again, I'm not sure. It seems like my man JD in the chat probably knows a lot more about all this than I do. But I do think he does come from that kind of background, whichever one it is.
Did you see if was our offensive coordinator playing calls, calling plays from the booth? I didn't see him on the sideline, so I'm assuming he was in the booth. I saw, I mean, Phil Snow's in the booth. I saw the quarterback's coach go out and talk to PJ at once, not the offensive coordinator. So I'm guessing McAdoo's calling it from the booth.
Yeah.
If anybody saw that. Here, I think we got one more call. We hit. All right. Yeah, we got another call in. Thanks for your support.
252-228-5098. Yo, what's good, C3? It's JD. You know, I was just calling in, give my thoughts on what I saw. Overall, like, these starters or the presumed starters, they look good, in my opinion. More importantly, I like what I saw out of the second stringers at the in the secondary. Like, I can't think of the kid's name, but there was a play where he was there, but the receiver was able to catch the ball. Like, he popped it up and then he went out of bounds and he came back in. I like how they were able to stay with the guys. Like, the secondary, even the second stringers look good. On offense, like, yo, Baker is the starting QB. They definitely need to get Corral more reps. Like, to my eyes, it looked like his nerves were getting the best of him. But overall, I like what I saw. I think the needle, that the arrow is definitely pointing up for us. With that being said, love show. Appreciate what you guys do.
Oh, yeah.
C3 for the fans, by the fans. Keep pounding.
Keep pounding, man. Shout out JD, man.
Fantastic call.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Greg, you're on the mic. You got one thing. You said you got one more topic on your heart, and then we'll do our dab on them and tell a Shane player.
Oh, I was just saying I had one more topic left in me.
Oh,
I didn't actually have the topic. Yeah, nothing on my mind, but I could talk on one more topic.
Why don't we do this? What we started, I don't know if we started last year or the year before. Was last year the first year we did the post game, or did we do the post game the year before that?
Yeah, we've done it. I think two years now.
Done for a little while.
Okay.
Yeah, our biggest shows now, you know.
Yeah, is the post game. I mean, and clearly everybody's got the team on their mind, and they're watching football right after. But it does give the Tuesday show a run for. Actually, all of our shows are like horses.
Yeah.
In the damn race right now. They're really starting to cook. All of them. All of them. And in fact, the Friday free-for-all, actually the Tuesday show did like 4,000 views in 48 hours. And, I feel like my ice-up pick for the Tuesday show was going to be you guys for having a show that was longer. Without me. I'm the reason this show is a bazillion hours long, and then you guys had a 4-hour fucking show.
Dude, we had like 22 cat calls. That's crazy.
You know what's funny though is before we started, I remember asking you, we had like 8. When we were putting the show together, I was like, oh, we only got 8 calls tonight, we'll be good. And then
every time I say,
oh, I don't think we got a lot to talk about, we should be able to plow through this, it's the longest show of the year.
Hold my beer.
Yes, hold my beer. So let's do this. Is dab on last year we did and actually let me see if I can find it. You know what? We'll save the music for later. But we do. This is the honor. This is our homage to Cam Newton, right? Arguably him and Steve Smith, the two greatest offensive players in Panthers history. And the dab, bro. Cam knew how to set a trend. I know people made fun of him, but he's ahead of a lot of things. And he made that dab hot, bro. And that was an Atlanta thing, right? So this is how we celebrate our player of the game, the dab on him pick of the week. And I'm going to go first, and I'm just going to go with Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Straight dab on him. Steve Smith said, my man has been here long enough to drink a cup of coffee. And came out here and looking great.
he had some bars.
I thought this is, I saw, look, he, I mean, he had a mistake. He was not flawless, But boy, did he kind of show you a lot of the things that Browns fans liked. Yeah. And the reason they like him is, one, he's mobile. Like, he picked up a first down with his feet at one point. And he didn't just run out of panic. It, like, he dropped back, stepped up, looked through a couple of reads, and then said, I'm out of here. Right?
He's got wheels, too. He's fast.
Yeah. I mean, and he then made some good reads, pretty safe throws, pushed the ball downfield. And I got to tell you, this is somebody, whoever says that Baker Mayfield, I, you know what? And I would probably say I said this a few times. I didn't know if he had this elite ass arm talent. I mean, yeah. But I also didn't watch him very much. He was throwing zingers, bro. But still, PJ Walker still got the biggest cannon on this team. He came out there on his first pass and threw a fucking missile into the stands, I like, or something like that. Which right. Like, but dab on him, Baker Mayfield. What's y'all's dab on him pick?
And so before we go, real quick, we got to shout out our man, Anthony Price, for the $10.
Incredible.
If I can pull it up here. Yeah, and shout out to Anthony. It doesn't have a message, but the $10 love bomb. It came on the Friday free-for-all. For the first time last Friday. Appreciate you, Anthony.
Got a whole band set up in his living room there.
Yeah, nice. Anthony's cool. Anthony's the man.
Well, but thank you so much for your generosity, man. We appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. So my dab on a pick, man, I feel like I've got a lot of them. I want to say Shai Smith, and I'm really hopeful about Shai Smith, but I'm gonna keep it consistent, man. I'm going Frankie Louvu. I know we only made that one play, you know, or that one big time play, but based on what he did last year and the type of player that we know him to be, I think Frankie Louvu is going to have a huge year this year. I'm really pumped for it. Yeah. And
those are the plays that we saw him make last year. That exact. So what that tells us is not a flash in the pan necessarily. Is like that's who he is. He's instinctive. Yeah. That's what I think. Yeah.
And one more thing before I pass the mic, real quick, is my brother-in-law's John. It's his birthday today, so I wish a happy birthday to my brother John. You know I love you, man. And
I'll throw one out there real quick. I'm gonna be consistent too, Matt, but it's earlier. Barno, man, Amari Barno. We've been questioning YGM on that end and talking about that was a position that we needed to solidify and do well. And I'm not saying that after one game, I'm convinced he's gonna do that. But in your first game against the team you were playing against that had the motivation they had, you had a pretty good game. 3 tackles, fumble recovery, and you didn't even play the whole game. So I'm impressed with what I saw on the field today. I hope to see it continue.
Yeah, I think they asked who did they ask? Oh, it was Shaq Thompson that called him mini Brian Burns 2.0.
Yeah. They call him Burno is what they call him.
Burno, right on. So that's a good one. All right, CK, your dab on it?
Mine's going to go to Jeremy Chinn, who actually forced the fumble that Barno was able to recover.
He played?
Jeremy Chinn forced that fumble. Like, nobody was talking about it, but he's the one that forced that fumble that Barna was able to recover.
One tackle for loss, two tackles. God,
he's I love Jeremy Chinn so much, man. So glad we got him.
Yeah, that's Jeremy the Chinn's jersey in. To buy right now.
Oh, yeah.
That's a hot jersey,
I think. Yep.
All right. Jeremy Chinn, dab on him. All right. Towel of Shame, players that. You know what? I feel like Cody should go first.
Okay. My towel of shame. Man, I feel like there's two that I could give. But I'm going to go ahead and give it to Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan had a pretty bad game kind of quietly today, I feel like, too. He was in there when PJ Walker was in, and he whiffed one completely and got PJ blown up for a sack. It was tough between him and Cam Irving. I think that both of these guys are just their rejects being forced onto our O-line. But, yeah, I think Michael Jordan. But we hear so much about how he's so mean and strong and he's dominant and he's great for the run game. And, bro, he ain't none of that shit. So, That's my Tyler saying.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I gave you a chance to do it, and you totally dodged it.
Hell no, I'm not. I'm not doing Matt Corral for my Tyler Shane, bro. Never.
Hey, no. can we throw a Tyler Shane on an opposing team's player?
Okay.
Because yeah, I'm just gonna say I'm throwing Joyce Lye.
Damn it!
I see. I've learned. You saw in the intro. I've learned not to go last. I'm gonna throw it on Joyce Lye because you got a chance to prove why we shouldn't have gotten rid of you, and you just showed us why we did.
Yeah.
How about this? Is before we move on, I mean, I know you got to run. JD864 said that the Tyler Shane goes to the trash announcers. I'm assuming he's referring to the other side,
Washington.
You heard the other broadcast. What was it? What's he referring to?
They were talking like it sounded like me or you broadcasting a game because the guy was definitely into it like a fan, like talking trash. He was like, "Yeah, that offensive line or that defensive line, you see that? That's what we do. That's how we roll. You watch. I told you when we do this, we're going to win every game. It's all we got to do is this right here, and we're going to keep doing it." And he started talking trash. I'm like, dude. This is not an announcer. This is me calling a game. You know, this is Steve Smith calling a game. Yeah,
that's Steve Smith. Yeah. Steve Smith was a trash talking our team though. Like I didn't see him doing a lot against the other team, but that was.
I think Greg was listening in his market. Were you listening to the opposing broadcast?
Yeah, I was listening to the Washington broadcast. I couldn't tell you the guy's name. Yeah.
All right. Steve Smith, I'm a little nervous today. I felt like. He'll loosen up as he continues on this preseason journey. Yeah. All right. Tyler Shane.
Mine, and I got to find a new one because it was going to go to Joey Sly. No, you're fine. I would say it's got to still, for some reason, it's still got to go to this offensive line as a whole. Like, there wasn't a lot of, like, even the first team, when Baker was in there with that first team, he wasn't sitting there with a good amount of time. The first play of the game, the pocket broke down immediately. He had to run and scramble and get a first down. It still was a bit shaky, which I guess you can expect. But as of right now, until I see the what we are expecting our offensive line to be actually make that improvement, I'm going to have to, give the talent shame to that squad over there.
Yeah, I'm going to give it to Cam Irving, who got just worked.
Yeah.
You know, I want to continue to see some of these players developed on this offensive line instead of just going with Cam Irvin. Somebody said this is they were talking about, us trying to showcase PJ Walker or learn what we have with PJ Walker if he could be a number two. So if we could go Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, PJ Walker. And then Matt Corral and those be our quarterbacks. How do you not know what this guy's got? You coached him in college. You've coached him for the last two seasons. You've had a lot of playing time. I feel like you know who PJ Walker is.
Like, games for us.
Yeah. Like, how much do we actually have to learn? And so that's kind of what I'm saying with Cam Irving, some of these other guys. And I don't know. I have to go through the list of them. Is like, are we really trying to learn about Cam Irving? I think I'm trying to learn about that Cade Mays guy more, or can Deontay Brown play a whole half?
Yeah,
like give him a chance to do it, you know, and see if you haven't just so Cam Irvin, my Tyler Shane. Look, how about this? Let's finish this show in 1 hour. I think we had a good show. I think we got through most of the topics. We still have a lot to learn in this preseason. When's our next preseason game? Thursday.
Yeah.
Is it a night game?
It is. Got to be.
We'll figure something out. Even if it's not after the game, maybe we can do it during or one of the halves or something.
You know what I want to do? What if we started at the end of the third quarter?
Nope. I'm fine with that.
So, like, we did a post-game fourth quarter watch-along because the fourth quarter is like the
– What time does it start?
Probably 7:30.
Yeah, it's probably pretty late.
I mean, that's so late. I kind of feel like if we're gonna do that, we might as well just do a watch along and just. Like,
well, I mean,
or maybe at halftime.
We'd be starting at like 30 minutes after a Tuesday show, or right around a Tuesday show if we started on the third quarter. You know, probably 9:30.
So we'll talk about it this week. We got the Tuesday show to hash it out. And you know what? A lot of people come in on Tuesday.
Oh, not actually. Yeah, yeah. A lot of people come in on the Tuesday show with your ideas of what we should do for the post game. Should it be a watch along? Should we start at halftime? Maybe start at halftime and do a post game watch along for the second half. Those are some ideas. All right. Tuesday night, next show, 252-228-5098. Leave your thoughts about this first preseason game. And man, we appreciate all the support in the chat. Really good turnout. Over 250 people the whole time, it feels like. You guys are fantastic. Thank you. Please smash that thumbs up button. It helps us catch on the algorithm. It helps us continue to reach new listeners and broaden this great community we're developing here and you guys are developing. Follow me on Twitter at @cat_chronicles. Email me, carolinacatchronicles@gmail.com. Go like our Facebook. All of the socials, every like, every view, every subscribe, it helps us continue to grow. And this season's going to be our biggest, Cody Lack. Thank you for being my little man. Tell them how they can get after you.
Yeah, you can get after me on Twitter at Cody Lack, CodyLac. Guys, we are so close to 4,000 subscribers. Come on, man. Help us out. If you have not subscribed to the channel yet, I promise we're a good time, man. If you're still one of the 245 still hanging out, we do this all year, man. There is not a rock that we will leave unturned in relation to the Carolina Panthers. You can bet that will never change. Your premier fan podcast for the Carolina Panthers. And that's it for me.
Greg, I know you got to run.
Yeah, check me out at TheBatDaddy52 on Twitter. Personal handle.
Fantastic stuff. Check out his podcast. You just changed the name, so don't let me get it wrong.
I messed it up on the intro the other day. It's Geeks Chasing Squirrels. So,
Geeks Chasing Squirrels Through the Multiverse is one way to think about it. Codizzle, the voice that makes a noise.
Thanks for coming on. Yeah, absolutely, man. I'm happy to be here. You know, I'm just excited to be back talking about some Panthers football and actually having some action recap with you fellas. You can catch me on Twitter, TikTok, those places. I don't put a lot of content out these days, but you're more than welcome to, at least on Twitter I do. But come follow along, and it's at Codizzle Allen, and, you know, we'll make it happen. We'll be here Tuesday ready to tell you guys. And we're teasing some things, but like I said, we have some things coming for when the season starts up. Also, there might be some things going on. If we hit 4K, there's a potential we could be doing a giveaway of some sort. So you guys help us get to that 4K, share it with your aunts, uncles, tell them about, hey, you know, these guys, they are incredible. Don't oversell it, because we don't want to underperform. But, you know, it's definitely keep their expectations okay, and then that way they can be excited to come here.
Cody, take us out of here.
Panther fans and C3 Nation, until next time, keep pounding.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.